Well, good morning. It's a privilege to get to serve the middle school and high schoolers and Club 345. Your kids are awesome, so thank you so much for allowing me to do that. Also, they already heard a version of this sermon, so if you have any questions, please ask your middle schoolers and high schoolers because they're incredible and they already know everything, so feel free. Our scripture reading from today comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can anyone enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of a spirit is a spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. Have I told you about earthly things and you do not believe? How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. The title for today's sermon is Imagine. And friends, I want to invite all of us to imagine what's happening in this text. What is happening as we move from Easter into Pentecost, and to imagine the person that each of you could become. Friends, this is not an exercise of imagination for imagination's sake, or just to leave those things up in your brain or in your dreams, but I want us to participate in an imagination that is rooted in a concrete reality. So think about imagining as you're picturing things in your head first, and then hopefully you can see those things happening. So in other words, is to imagine, to see the potential of what things could be. Let's pray. God, my words are just words, but you, God, you are the living word. Be with us. Amen. So, 6 days have passed since we affirmed that Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
And I don't know about you, but nothing has really changed for me since last Sunday. Things are the same, pretty much. But I don't think that was the case for the disciples. And thank you, Elizabeth. We heard that. So, yeah, things were very different for them. I can only wonder how the disciples and all the followers of Christ felt after Good Friday and then Resurrection Sunday. If I imagine myself back in those days, I think I will probably still be shocked after the horrendous violence that we all witnessed during Good Friday and having to see Jesus being crucified on a cross. Could you imagine how strange things could be for all those who knew Jesus and then saw him die on a cross at the hands of the empire and suffer perhaps one of the most horrible and public deaths of his time? So let's situate our imagination in this grieving moment. There's grief, there's pain, there's sorrow. Maybe the feeling that everything that you used to believe is crashing down and you don't know what to do anymore because the person that you thought was the Messiah is now gone. Perhaps imagining such despair and horror is hard in our context of privilege. But let's keep in mind that there are people around the world right now that's their reality. And perhaps some of us right now too are feeling like that, even here. And then, 3 days later, the most unreal thing happened. Something that's gonna change everything. Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Now the joy overcomes the pain. Now the acceptance is struggling with the denial. Now all the grieving process is confused. And you don't know what to believe anymore. And yeah, it makes sense to just go back and fish, to be honest. So I also sympathize with Thomas when he said that he needed to see Jesus first in order to believe. Like that makes sense. And grieving is a mystery. But now that mystery is confronted with a different reality. And that is the reality of Jesus. And now the world is not the same. Even the way we measure time is different after Jesus. It's almost like we need a restart or perhaps to be born again. So now that we have situated ourselves in the grieving and joy of the disciples after Jesus' death and resurrection, perhaps that is us as well, a week after Resurrection Sunday. And maybe this was also Nicodemus' feeling after this interaction with Jesus that we just read. So I know I invite all of us to put ourselves in the disciples' shoes for a minute. So now, let's put ourselves in Nicodemus' shoes for a minute. My version goes a little like this. I just want to pay Jesus a compliment. You know that there are things that he's doing that you think that God is with Jesus, but you're not sure. And you're just curious. You just want to go and see who this person is. You probably heard about the water and the wine that happened a couple days earlier. Or maybe you heard about all the other wonderful things that Jesus has been doing. Or maybe you heard about the incident in the temple. And perhaps that's the reason why you're coming at night, because you don't want to be seen with a troublemaker, and Jesus just made a lot of trouble. And Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, so he can be seen with someone who's making all that trouble. But still, he was curious. Who knows? he maybe agreed with the things Jesus did, and he wanted to talk with Jesus about that. And here we're only imagining within the limits of the Gospel of John. So we only have two chapters to work with. And let's assume that Nicodemus does not know how John opened his gospel. So he probably doesn't know about the Word, or that in the beginning was the Word, and that the Word was God. So Nicodemus does not have the same information that we have now. And maybe, like many others, Nicodemus heard about Jesus saying that he was going to destroy the temple and then build it up again in 3 days. And he, like many others, he probably took that literally. And John tells us that many people did right after this story of Nicodemus. If we look at chapter 2, verse 22, John is telling us that after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remember that he has said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So I think it's fair to assume that Nicodemus is only trying to figure out who Jesus is, and he just want to go talk to him. So now we know a little bit of the context where Nicodemus is coming from. So I think we can sympathize with him a little bit more. But now let's move and see what's happening on Jesus' side. The first thing we heard is that Jesus is saying, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. I think Nicodemus was not expecting that answer. He was probably off guard. And I don't think he was expecting the full-on theological conversation that's going to unfold right after Jesus explains this. Because Jesus goes on and talks about salvation, redemption, baptism, Old Testament references. And I think Nicodemus was just expecting, thank you, I appreciate you saying that. Let's move on. But instead, he got a really dense answer where salvation and being born again, or born from above, depends on what translation are you looking into, talks about. There are some references about baptism and the water and the Spirit. Jesus talks about heavenly things. And in the middle of that, Jesus also scolds Nicodemus for being a teacher and not understanding all the things that Jesus is saying right there. So I think at this point, it's also, we heard that Nicodemus asked the most practical and straightforward question. How can these things be? And Jesus just keeps going. He goes and says about the Spirit and the wind. And to make things a little more complicated, he goes back to the Old Testament and Moses. Verse 13 says, no one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Friends, things got really complicated for Nicodemus, really quick. And no wonder why we don't hear about Nicodemus's answer or follow-up. I'm still very perplexed about this whole situation, so I can only imagine if I was there, I would be just probably like nodding and smiling. I mean, like, thanks, Jesus. I don't really know what you just said, but sounds good. And we don't know what Nicodemus's answer is. We actually don't hear about Nicodemus until chapter 19. And what we hear is that he's bringing a mixture of spices and customary oils that were used for burying people. And he's not bringing just a little bit of it. He's bringing a lot of it. And this is after Jesus dies. So What can we do now after we've heard and hopefully imagine this whole situation? We already know this story, and John has already interpreted all of this in light of Jesus' birth, ministry, passion, death, and resurrection. Maybe we've read the two chapters that are before this, and I think most of us have heard the very famous John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And friends, last Sunday we celebrated Easter. So it's fair to say that we know a little bit more than our friend Nicodemus. And after all, this was Nicodemus' first interaction with Jesus. Still, I wonder if we're asking the same questions when we're confronted with the reality of the resurrection in our lives. How can this be? How are we supposed to live in a post-resurrection reality? The tension of the kingdom of heaven being inaugurated in our midst, but not fully yet. Friends, I think Nicodemus' questions get to the heart of the matter. How are we to be born again in the reality of Christ's resurrection? How are we to live in a world where we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life? And yet, we read about violence, and we see violence around us. There's genocide in Gaza happening right now. There's war in Ukraine. And there's a lot of hate towards people that look different from us happening right now. How can these things be? Nicodemus' questions are still our questions. But friends, we are not alone. Church, Jesus loves each and every one of us so much that he died on a cross. And the same God is helping us to be born again, to be born from above, every day, every minute. Think about a different mentality, a resurrected reality, where perhaps the ways of greed and pain are replaced by compassion and joy, where violence is replaced by peace, and where enemies become friends. This is an imagination rooted in the reality of Jesus, where God empower all of us and the Spirit help us to work towards God's kingdom here on earth, in our realities. And friends, that's the event of Pentecost. That's what we're gonna enter into. That's the next season. And one of my favorite songs talks about making a revolution, where our armies are butterflies, where our banner is a new sunrise, and where our victory is to understand that we must change our swords by flowers and roses. And perhaps this is what it means to be born again, or be born from above. Amen.